opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. And thank God for air conditioning. Amen.
Amen.
So we're glad that you're here tonight. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Let's sing. What's our number, Brother Buddy? I thought I had it, and then I forgot it.
496.
Victory. 496. Victory in Jesus. Let's stand and sing the first, second, last verses, 496. And let's sing it like we got it.
I heard the Lord's story, how the Savior came from glory, and I gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, all his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sin.
Preachers with us tonight. We're going to recognize all the male preachers. We know all the ladies do a good share of preaching on their own, but we'll just recognize the men in just a few minutes. But it's good to have Pastor Rick Church from the Summerfield Baptist Temple. This is Brother Daniel's father, for those of you that haven't figured that out yet. And we appreciate hearing he and his dear wife coming all the way from down in Summerfield to be with us tonight. I'm going to ask him to lead us in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we do thank you tonight for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thank for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. And Lord, for Brother Fans and Sister Darlene, Lord, we thank you for them, their faithfulness to you. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless tonight, bless this church here. Lord, this revival meeting. God, the souls might be helped and encouraged, and revival might take place in their heart and life. I pray you bless Daniel as he preaches tonight. Use him. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do. We want to honor you, praise you, worship you tonight, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right. What's our fellowship song going to be?
Number 460, Leaning on the Everlasting Arm.
Now, I was over, my wife and I went over to Brother Clint's church a few weeks ago, and Pastor Alcorn over here, he preached the revival, and when they got ready to have the fellowship time, I thought that was real interesting. They call that, let's see if I got it right, grin, grip, and greet.
Grip and grin.
Grip and grin?
Yeah.
Okay, I added a third G. Preachers have to alliterate everything, so... But that was pretty good. Grip, greet, and grin. All right, so we're going to do that in just a minute. So let's sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms first, second, and then we'll fellowship and come back on the last.
What a fellowship!
Thank you.
scriptures. You can be seated. All right. Appreciate all these men of God being here tonight. And I know that maybe it's not even a convenient day for you, being that it's Memorial Day. Maybe you had a busy day with family and friends. We appreciate you coming and being with us. We're going to start over here with Brother Daniel and let go right down the row and get everybody to introduce themselves. Tell us where you're preaching and all that good stuff.
Daniel Church, Midway Baptist Church, Jamestown.
David Carter, Freedom Baptist Church, Daniel, Virginia.
Rick Church, Summerfield Baptist Temple, Summerfield, North Carolina.
Les Connor, Pastor Curry, Stone Baptist Church, Stewart, Virginia.
David Toler, Assistant Pastor, Tabernacle Baptist Church, in Bassett, Virginia.
Now, we've got right over here, we have a prolific writer with us. Okay, I want you to know that. We have an author in our presence. And Brother David's books are right here. And so if you want to get one, they're $10 unless he gives you a blue light special like I do over Kmart, amen. Then you come and you can even get a signature. Isn't that impressive? And get somebody's autograph. So if you want to pick that up tonight, remember that if you will. And so how, you're going to slip me, what, a 10 spot for that, right? Okay, I appreciate it. Brother Junior?
Brother Junior Haley, Northside Baptist and Baptist. I went out one Woodish Church in Cascade.
Charles Taylor, I live in Mark Ministries, nursing home outreach from Bible Baptist Church in Collinsville, Virginia.
Okay. All right. It's good to have all these men of God in the service tonight. We appreciate so much you being here. Good to have Brother Carter over from Freedom here in Danville. And there's another preacher who has a pretty good drive ahead of him, just like we do. And so he's been over there for about 3 years. And just good to have everybody. Brother Clint, God bless him, had a bus route tonight. And about the four preachers on the front line, he brought them tonight. Or no, I'm sorry, Brother David did. I'm sorry, forgive me. And so I appreciate Brother David running the bus route tonight. And so God bless you. All right, we're going to get started. Good to have Brother James Lane with us. And Brother James is going to be singing, so I'm going to let him come up and bless us at this time. And I think Brother Jewish, you're going to help him out. Is that right?
Are you going to work with him?
Okay.
Thank you, Pastor. Glad to come to sing for you tonight. No professor, but I just love God. I'm saved by his marvelous grace and kept by his power. It's always a joy to stand and try to proclaim the word in song. Listen, we try to do two or three for you. Hope you enjoy it. The first one is my Savior, first of all. I'm going to see him one day.
Shall know him by the prince of the
Here's one of my favorites right here. God has been so good to me.
Amen.
I've always had a place to sleep, clothes to wear and food to eat. God has been so good to me. Thank you, Lord, for Mom and Dad.
That's not right. Something wrong. Start it over again.
Amen.
Try it again.
Amen.
I've always had a place to sleep, clothes to wear and food to eat. God has been so good to me.
I think you're dragging.
Always when you're trying to do something for the Lord, the devil steps up too, don't he?
Mm-hmm.
We'll try this from number four. Well, I did it coming down the road, it was good, I thought, but now I don't know what's happened. But it, yeah, I'm not together with the music. At least that's the way it sounds to me. Somewhere beyond the stars and the great unknown, there is a holy God, and he sits upon his throne. And I believe he sees my tears, and he knows the pain I feel. He cares for me. Oh, praise his name. I know my God is real.
Yeah.
I believe that Christ, God's Son and my Lord, in a stable with virgin born, was crucified and rose again that third and glorious morn.
Yeah.
And I believe he's coming back some wonderful, glorious day. And on that hallelujah morning, God's children will fly away.
Amen.
I believe that's going to happen one day.
Amen.
I believe somewhere there is a place without a care. I don't know just when, but I know I'm going there.
Yeah.
And I believe that just one drop that flowed from Calvary's flood could save this lost and dying world if they would claim the blood. I believe that Christ, God's Son and my Lord, in a stable with virgin born, was crucified and rose again that third and glorious morn.
Yes.
And I believe he's coming back some wonderful. with a glorious day. And on that hallelujah morning, God's children will fly away. And I believe this stable was virgin born, was crucified and rose again that third and glorious morn. And I believe he's coming back some wonderful glorious day. And on that hallelujah morn, God's children will fly away. How about that, folks?
All right. Thank you, Brother Lane. Appreciate you coming and sharing with us tonight. And we appreciate the good fellowship that we have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One day we get to heaven, it doesn't matter, we won't have sound systems, will we? We'll have glorified vocal cords and we'll sing. And the Bible says we'll sing and it's the sound of many waters. And it's going to be something when we get there, so thank the Lord for that. What we have, we recognize the preachers. What about other churches that are here? We know we got some folks from over at Holland Road Baptist. And Brother James, where do you go? Bethel Baptist. Do we have any other churches besides these folks that are here we've already recognized? I'm glad to have our folk from here at Faith. We appreciate our faithfulness of the people here, so thank you for being here tonight. So we thank the Lord for the fact the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in His name,
Amen.
He's in the midst. So I think we got that outnumbered pretty good.
Amen.
And that means He's here with us tonight. And so we're glad of that. Had a good day yesterday. The Lord was kind to us, gracious, met with us. I put out on the Facebook today, we had good Bible preaching, we had good fellowship, we had good attendance, we had good eating. And so that's all the makings of a Baptist church if it's the right kind of church, isn't it? And so we appreciate Brother Daniel Church. We appreciate his ministry. And you pray for him as he comes to bring the word of the Lord to us tonight. Brother, you come on.
It is good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody here. Brother Van's already introduced my daddy. And I would be remiss and probably hit in the back of the head if I didn't introduce my father-in-law. Brother David Carter is my father-in-law. Of course, he pastors here in Danville. I appreciate him coming up with us tonight. Enjoyed the good fellowship. We went over and ate in an empty restaurant. And I ain't never seen Libby Hills that empty before. But we had a good meal, good time of fellowship with Brother Van. I appreciate that. Appreciate this church letting me come. And appreciate my wife being here tonight, my mom, sitting back here together. And I appreciate them being here, my wife, Holly. Not to be confused with Holly. I heard Sister Darlene yesterday talking to Holly. I said, she's not here. She'll be here tomorrow night, and I didn't realize there was a Holly here. So, but I certainly appreciate God's goodness allowing them to be here tonight, my mom and dad coming all the way up. They live in Bethany, which is just outside of Summerfield over in Rockingham County. And y'all preachers make me nervous. I just want you to know that. I'm going to tell you. Preachers get around you, and, you know, I already know they know more than I do, so, I mean, might as well just let one of them come up here. But I want to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart. Certainly, I believe God will help us tonight. I believe God will help us in the message. And certainly has something for us. So the book of Luke, chapter number 22. We'll read a few verses of scripture here tonight and bring the message the Lord's laid on our heart. You coming up here to get me already? I haven't even started yet. God.
Let's see if we can get you some volume, preacher.
Get some, I'll get some volume in a minute.
I'm sure you will.
I mean, in a minute, I'm like that old black fella said one time. You heard about that? He said, I don't do helicopter preaching. He said, you see them helicopter preachers, they get in the pulpit. As soon as they get in the pulpit, they go straight up, and they get it done, they come straight back down. He said, I'm more like a Boeing 747. He said, I need a little runway to get off the ground. So I can identify with that a little bit. Amen? Luke chapter number 22, here in a minute he'll be coming to turn me down or ask me to turn this thing off. Luke 22 and verse number 31, the Bible says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. You know, as discouraging as what Jesus said in verse 31 was, how interesting it is that the Lord would look at Peter and say, you know, the devil has desired to have you. We understand that this is not the first time that the devil has asked to have someone that belonged to the Lord. The Bible tells us of an incident in the book of Job where the devil stood before the Lord and God asked him where he'd been. He said, going to and fro. God said, have you considered my servant Job? Of course, they talked about Job for a while and we all know what Job went through, but Jesus looks at Simon Peter and says, Satan hath desired to have thee. Oh, what a troubling statement that is. As troubling as that is, though, what an encouraging statement it is in verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice what Simon said in verse 33. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let's look down in verse number 54. They took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. That's a reflection of his condition, that statement that he followed afar off. Then in verse 55, they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and he sat down among them. There's a reflection of his companions there in verse number 55. He said among them, these that are sitting around this fire are those who have participated in the arrest of the Lord. Once you get away from the Lord, then you start hanging out with people who aren't for the Lord anymore. In verse number 56, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him and saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he'd said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let's stop reading there and let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. You know what is on my heart. You know what my burden is. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me, Lord, get this burden that is within me out in a manner in which these that are here tonight could hear and receive. And Lord, I understand the only way that that's going to happen is if the Holy Ghost of God delivers this message. I pray, God, tonight that you'd anoint the hearing of the word of God. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we look into this precious book, that these words would not just be ink on paper, but God, that it'd be real to us, that we'd realize that these are the God-breathed words of heaven sent to our lives, that we might live for you and honor you, Lord, in the days in which we live. Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one that's here tonight. Help these pastors, help this church. Help us, dear God. Lord, we realize the failure that we are. Lord, how many times we fall short. Lord, it seems as though every day sometimes something comes up that hinders us in a manner that we don't serve you like we ought to. But God, I pray that you'd help us tonight to go away from here strengthened and encouraged in the things of God. ready to serve you and stirred once again for the work of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, just a few things by way of introduction tonight. Here in this passage of Scripture, we find a regrettable action that Peter took. What shame it was for Peter to deny the Lord in this manner. The Bible said that at one point he cursed and said, "I don't know the man. I never knew the man." And we find that Peter, his shame is evident and his sorrow is evident as we read. As soon as the rooster crowed, as soon as he heard it, he immediately felt the conviction of God's words in his heart that Jesus had prophesied this. Right to him and told him, he said, "Before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny that you even know me, Peter." Peter did it anyway. You ever had somebody tell you that you're going to wind up doing something and you still did it anyway? You say, if you go keep doing that, you're going to fall. That's what Jesus is telling him. He said, "Peter, you keep acting like this, you're going to fall. You're going to fail some way, shape, form, or fashion. Peter, if you don't straighten up and do what I tell you, you're going to fail. This is what's going to happen." And of course, Peter did. A lot of people wonder why Peter did this. Why did Peter deny the Lord? What was it? A lot of people will say that he was overconfident. Verse number 33, listen to what he says. He said, "I am ready to go with thee unto prison and to death." A lot of people feel like Peter was a little overconfident. And when all these things happened, it shook his confidence. It shook him to his very core. And he wasn't able to process all of it. A lot of people think that he was careless. We think about what happened here between verses 31 and 62. We find that the disciples leave the upper room and they go over to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Lord takes Peter, James, and John a little farther on and he says, "Will you watch and pray with me for a little while?" And when Jesus comes back, what are they doing? They're asleep. He came a little careless. He said, "Could not you watch just a little while with me? Just a little while?" And of course, he got careless about when he slept. He got careless about where he stood around the fire of the enemy. Then somebody would even dare to say that Peter was a coward. I don't think Peter was much of a coward. The Bible said in Matthew 26:51 that he carried a sword. Peter secretly began to carry a sword. And when they came in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter pulled that sword. And he used that sword and cut off Malchus's ear. And he didn't do that just him and Malchus standing there. It was him and Malchus and Malchus's 50 friends behind him. And they all had swords and spears. I don't think Peter was a coward. I believe tonight the reason that Peter said that he did not know him was because that Peter, up to this point, didn't understand Calvary. The disciples didn't understand Calvary. They had no idea what was going on when Jesus was arrested. It was almost as if Peter was saying, "I thought I knew who he was, but I don't know him now." Because what I expected was what happened just a few days ago. A few days ago, Jesus, the Jesus that I knew a few days ago, was riding in Jerusalem on a donkey. And they were singing his praises. They were talking about he's going to be the new king. He's the Messiah. Here he comes. And the Jesus that I expected to be like Joshua with a sword. I expected to be like David and come and set up his rule and reign. And here he is. He's allowed these heathens to arrest him. All these years I've followed him. I've traveled all across the country with him. I've slept out in the cold and dark with nowhere to lay my head. I've worried about his safety. I've worried about my safety. I don't know all the sacrifices that I have laid out for this man. And here he is, allowing himself to be arrested. I believe that's what Peter's problem was in this situation. Have you ever been in a situation like that with the Lord?
You've worked for the Lord. You've served God the best that you can. And you've seen it. And in your mind, you've got it all planned how it should go. While you've pastored a church, or you've had a ministry, or you're teaching a Sunday school class, or you got your family in church, or something of that nature, and something happens. Something in the church, you pastors know what I'm talking about, something happens in the church. And you say, well, I thought I knew what God was doing. I thought I knew what the will of God was. I thought I did, but apparently I don't. Here I've done all this, and I've worked this hard, and I've put these things on hold in my life to serve God, and here He is doing something I never imagined He'd ever let this happen to me, or my church, or my family. You can fill in the void, whatever it is has been in your life. Never thought I'd be here in this situation. Never thought I'd be in the hospital like this. Whatever it is in your life. Listen, a lot of people come to the same place that Peter was at. You know, I would have to say that in all the things that Peter did, and we pick on Peter a lot, and all the things that he did, this is probably the biggest failure Peter ever had in his life was right here at this fire. Well, this is the biggest fall Peter ever took. Now, I don't believe tonight, and you don't either, that God allowed us to read about this in Peter's life in order to make fun of him. He didn't do this to embarrass Peter. No, God has a reason for every word in the Bible. And one of the things about this story is it's an example for you and me. God being our helper tonight, I want to preach on what do you do when you fail the test? What do you do when you fail the test? Number one, I want to talk about the prediction of the test. The Bible tells us that Jesus gave him a warning. Of course, Peter ignored the warning. He threw caution to the wind, didn't he? He said, oh, I can handle it. Did you just tell me that the devil desired to have me? Why, you remember a few years ago when you sent us out by twos? You know, those devils, they did what I told them to. You know, we cast demons out. That's what he said. He said we came back and they were amazed that even the demons were subject unto them. We perform miracles, Lord. I can handle this. Everything's fine. I mean, we're ready to take over in the morning, aren't we? That's what Peter said. You know, we have the same mentality a lot of times, like Peter did. We're ready to go. We're ready to have revival meeting this week. Bible tells us God's given us a warning. Book of 1 Peter, the Bible says, the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If we're like Peter, I can handle that. I'm going to be the first one to say tonight, I can't handle that. I can't handle the devil. There's been a lot better men than me been taken down easily by that rascal. He knows every weakness we have. He knows how this flesh works. He knows how to attract this flesh. He knows how to overtake this flesh. He knows how to deceive this flesh. And he knows how to destroy this flesh. And if we underestimate his ability, that's when we get in trouble. My daddy heard this one time on the radio, and I use it as his illustration. He passed it on to me. Amen. Y'all know how that is. Preachers take illustration from another preacher, amen? He's riding down the road, he heard a fellow on the radio. It's what this guy said. He said, I dare the devil to touch one of my kids. Okay.
That's a little foolish. Because he will. There have been many a men humbled by the fall of their children. There have been many a man humbled by the fall of their spouse. There have been many a Sunday school teacher humbled by the attack of Satan in their family's life. Don't think for a moment the devil doesn't have you on his radar screen. He does. He's looking for you. God gives us a warning about that. Then we see about the wisdom about it. As I said before, we can take courage in the foreknowledge of Christ. Amen. We may not know what's coming, but He does. We may not know what the devil has in store for us. Oh, but He does. I'm glad that I am not the one that is informed. Amen. I'm glad, though, that I know that there's a God in heaven who knows every move that's going to be made. He knows every problem that's going to come my way. He knows every pitfall the devil is placing in front of me. And I'm glad that the God of heaven has not left me without a roadmap. Amen. God in heaven has not left me down here on this earth just to try to find my way, but He's given me this blessed old Bible, amen, that'll mark my path in this life. And in that, included with that, is the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost of God living inside of me. I'm glad that Jesus knows. I'm glad that Jesus is with me. I'm glad that Jesus prays for me. But I have prayed for thee. We see the prediction of the test. And I'm not going to be long tonight. My father-in-law said take 15 minutes. Amen. Radio message. Secondly, we see the preparation for the test. There was a preparing that happened. Turn with me back just one page in your Bible. Verse number 8, Luke chapter number 22. The Bible said in verse number 7, then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. Notice, He sent Peter and John saying, go prepare us the Passover that we may eat. You say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, if you look through the Gospels from this point in time, anywhere you see John, you see Peter. Anywhere you see Peter, you see John. Who was it that followed Jesus to Caiaphas' house? It's Peter and John. And on the day that Jesus rose, the women came and told, there's two men that went running to the sepulcher. Who were they? Oh, that's Peter and John. After Jesus rose, Peter said, I'm going fishing. Who went with him? Well, John went with him. And then, of course, as walking in the temple in the book of Acts, the man come up asking, and who did he talk to? He talked to Peter and John. Well, it's interesting. One of the ways that God prepared Peter for this was He gave him a traveling companion. Gave him a good friend. He said, what's the big deal about Peter and John? Well, it's easy for us to see here that Peter's probably one of the shakiest of the disciples. I mean, he's an unstable individual. Matter of fact, if he lived in our day, he probably had a regular appointment every Thursday with a psychiatrist. He probably would have been on some kind of Prozac or something like that. And it probably would have called him bipolar or upside down or something like that, manic depressive. I mean, One minute he's up here and the next minute he's down there. Or they just would have called him a regular old Baptist. Amen? But John, on the other hand. Oh, John. John was a special individual to God, wasn't he? Everybody else is running around the room. Who is it? Who's going to betray him? He said somebody in here in this room is going to betray him. Who's it going to be? Peter, do you know who it is? Is it me? Lord, is it me? Andrew said, is it me? Philip said, is it me? Nathaniel said, is it me? They all, Bartholomew, Matthew, they all said, it's me. Is it me? Is it me? Is it going to be me? And finally, Peter said, John. Ask him. And John leaned up on the Lord and he said, who is it? Who is it? And John heard something nobody else heard because they weren't close enough. He said, whoever I did, sovereign, that's who's going to betray me. John heard something that no one else heard because he was closer to the Lord. Yeah. Let me say this too. John is the only disciple that went to Calvary. The only one. The Bible says, history records that Matthew stood out the city of Jerusalem. Peter, as far as we know, according to this verse of Scripture, is off somewhere weeping and crying because he's failed the Lord. But John stood in the middle of a bunch of women at the foot of the cross and looked up and he heard something else that none of those boys ever heard too. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. See, John didn't just hear something that nobody else heard. He did something nobody else could do. I would say from that time he took her into his home and took care of her. You know why we don't hear John traipsing all over the country like we did Peter and everybody else? Because John's taking care of the Lord's mother. And you know, John heard something else nobody else heard. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard a voice behind me as a mighty rushing wind. It's very easy for us to say tonight that John was the rock of the disciples. He's the one who wrote that great passage of Scripture, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John was the one who never referred to himself by name, but he said the one whom Jesus loved. John loved Him because he knew Jesus loved him. He said, we love him because he first loved us. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Here you have one of the most unstable, paired up with one of the most stable. God knew it. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, didn't he? Let me ask you a question. You ever just had somebody come in your life and you really didn't know why? You just, your spirit just hitched up with them, and next thing you know, you are the best of friends with them. And all of a sudden, the bottom drops out of your life. And who do you call? That fella, that sister, that brother in the Lord that just popped up in your life all of a sudden. Why? Why'd they come along like they did? Because God is preparing you for what you're about to go in. We see He gave him a companion, amen? Not only do we see His companion, but also we see His cleansing. Over in the book of John, chapter number 13, verses 4 down through verse number 12. I like to hear pages turn. I like that. Bible said in verse number 4, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, Dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You know, for a long time, you know, you don't hear preachers preach out that passage of Scripture very often. You know, there used to be a denomination that practiced feet washing. And they hadn't as an ordinance of the church, you know. Said Jesus established. No, Jesus was doing this for these men that were in this room. He came to Peter and Peter said, You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, You need it. He said, If I don't, you have no part with me. And he said, he wondered why it was that his feet need to be washed. Jesus, like I said earlier, knew what was about to happen. And he said, Peter, your feet's going to get a little dirty here in a little bit. And they need to be clean. See, it may not mean anything to you right now, but in a little while you'll understand what I'm doing. I'm making you clean by washing your feet. You say, Preacher, what's the big deal about that? I'm going to tell you something. I've got my feet dirty before. I'm glad God washed me clean a long time ago. Amen. Amen. Oh, I didn't know when I was saved, when I was a little boy. I got saved in 1985 on a Thursday night in Dandridge, Tennessee, in an old-time revival meeting. My daddy was pastoring Big Springs Baptist Church. And I didn't know when I was 6 years old what I'd be when I was 32 years old. I didn't know what I'd face growing up. I didn't know what I was going to get into. I didn't know the mess I was going to have. But Jesus Christ saved my never-dying soul that night, made me clean and new in Him. I didn't know then, but praise God, I can look back now and say hallelujah to God. I'm glad I got saved. I'm glad I got clean. I'm glad He cleaned me up. I'm glad Jesus died on Calvary for my sin and cleansed me and made me new every sin I ever committed. Hadn't been committed when He died on Calvary. But His blood, amen, the blood that He shed on that day is the blood that cleanses me from my sins.
Amen.
He said there's a necessity of it, and then we see the newness of it in verse number 10. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed, neither saved, needeth not saved to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Of course, he's talking about Judas. He said he'd give you a newness. He gave Peter a newness right there. Peter didn't understand it then, but he would in a little while. We see the prediction of the test, we see the preparation of the test, and we see the process of the test. Notice what it said, what Jesus said to Peter in our text over in Luke. He said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You've probably heard this before. But in this sifting, there's two things I want to talk about. Number one, he's saying there's going to be a beating, Peter. There's going to be a beating. That beating is going to take place in your life. The devil's going to sift you. Meaning that wheat, as it was taken from the field, it was brought into the threshing floor. And you know, on that wheat there, as it was brought into the threshing floor, they had people that would come. And what they would do is they would walk on those shelves with the wheat in it. And what they were doing was they were crushing that shell.
under their feet. He said, there's going to be a breaking in your life, Peter. The devil, what he wants to do to you is he wants to break you. He wants to hurt you. His desire is to break you. That's what the Lord said. You know, it's the same thing. The process in our life. The devil, that's what he wants to do to you. Every person in this room, he wants to break you. He wants you broken. He wants your life ruined. He wants you battered and bruised. He wants you laying on the threshing floor. But see, the thing about it is that needs to happen. Reason being is we're not interested in shells, are we? We're not interested in shells, that wheat. I mean, we can't, you know what that is? That's the chaff that the wind drives away. Worthy to be cast in the fire. We're not interested in that. No, what we're interested in is that little kernel that's inside that wheat, inside that shell. That's what God's interested in too. He said, what are you going to do with that kernel? Well, they're going to take it and they're going to separate the wheat and the chaff. They're going to get that wheat up. They're going to take it in and somebody's going to make, I don't know how you make bread, so I can't tell you how that does. Somebody's going to take it and going to take that wheat and they're going to make it into bread. And that bread is going to be good to eat. It's going to provide nourishment for somebody. It's going to give strength to somebody. You see, we'll never be able to do anything, be able to be used, until we get broken first. I can't remember who said it, but I read it in the book before they said it. It may have been Brother Van yesterday. R.A. Torrey said, God can use no man greatly until he has first hurt him deep. Peter, you're going to be hurt. I pray for you. We see the process of the test, and then we see finally tonight, we see the providence of the test. Over in Matthew chapter number 16. Look what it says in Matthew 16 and verse number 7. I'm sorry, in verse number 17. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You understand that God had a plan for Peter's life. God had expressed his plan. And regardless of what the devil tried to do to Peter, and regardless of what Satan, his attempt to overthrow Peter and take away Peter's testimony, God had a plan for Peter's life. I'm glad to know that God has a plan. And God's plan overrides anything that the devil has in store for you and me. God's plan, God's conversion of this man. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but the Spirit of God had. I'm glad the day the Spirit of God opened my blinded eyes and let me see some things in His blessed book. I'm glad not just when I got saved, but since I've been saved and since I've been living for God, there's been some dark nights that I couldn't see. There's been some dark days that I didn't understand. But there was that day, somebody said the other week, was in a meeting, Brother Steve Dagenhart said, I've never seen a day, I've never seen a night that there wasn't a day. I'm glad to know there'll never be a night that there'll never come a day in the morning after it, amen. I'm glad there's going to be a day that there'll never be no night. One of these days we'll get out of this. We'll get away from this mess that the devil's trying to get us in. We'll get out of this failure. We'll get out of this flesh. We see the conversion of the man. Then we see the care of the master. You not have to turn there and read, but in Mark chapter number 16. These women come and tell these disciples, he's alive and risen.
And these angels, they give this message to the women in Mark 16. You remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, I go before you into Galilee. Before he died, he said, after I rise again, I'll go before you into Galilee. And he told these women, these angels told the women the same thing in Mark chapter 16. But take note of what they said in verse number 7. They said to those women, says, go tell my disciples and believe. Those women came in that room, and John and them's all sitting around the table and over in the corner. I don't know if he's still weeping. I don't know. I have no idea. I know he's still probably under conviction, feeling guilty. Those women came in that room, and they said, we saw these angels at the tomb, and they said for us to come and tell all of you. And Peter, they mentioned you by name. Peter said, what? He's over in the corner. He said, who mentioned me by name? Well, the angels. Well, who did they say mentioned me? Well, they said God. They said Jesus told us to tell you in particular, Peter. But he's come to see me. Why, I'm glad the care that God has for his people. Amen. Can I say something? I wish we had that kind of care. Oh, if that had been some of us, I don't know what we'd have said to Peter. You sorry dog. You can't do no better than that. Why, after all the Lord has done for you, and here you are denying that you even know him. That's what happens when we have people in our, a lot of times when we have people in our church. We hear them getting out of church, we hear them fall, we hear them fail. First thing we say is, I knew it was me. I knew they wouldn't last. I'm glad Jesus didn't treat me like that. Amen. I'm glad he didn't treat Peter like that. I'm glad he didn't treat that little woman they called an adultery like that. He said, where are thy accusers? No, man. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Can I say something tonight? There is life after failure. Amen. Peter failed miserably, didn't he? But Jesus just took care of him. Called him and said, come on, I'm going to come see you, Peter. You know, Peter didn't straighten out then either. He still went fishing. He's out there on the fishing boat. You know, if it had been us, I'd say, oh, let them go back to fishing. I don't care. They don't want to come to the house of God on Sunday. They'd rather be out on the boat fishing. Let them go on. Let them go hunting. Let them go fishing. Let them go to the race. Let them go to the ball game. I don't give a flying flip what they're doing. Bless God, I'm going to preach it. If they don't like it, know where the door is at. Jesus standing on the bank said, lads, catch anything? He said, nope. He said, cast on the other side. As soon as they did, man, the nets filled up. John looked at Peter and said, it's the Lord. He said, we've heard this before. It's the Lord, Peter. What did Peter do? Jumped out of the boat and swam to shore. And there Jesus was. He already had dinner ready for him when he got there. Said, Peter, I know you've been fishing. I know you wasn't at church Sunday, but I just want to stop by, have a little fellowship with you, that you know I love you. I care about you. Oh, God, help us tonight. When other people fail and get caught up in a mess, because it's something they didn't understand. We don't always understand what the Lord is doing. God help us.
Amen.
Go to them. Just love them. That's all God called us to do. Just love them. I can't, you know, I said this yesterday. You can't make nobody do anything. What do we do? What do we do tonight? Let me ask this question. I'm closing. Have you ever been put to the test and failed? Has that test ever come in your life and you didn't pass it? I'm glad to know the Savior still cares about us. Still cares about you tonight. His life is so certain that there's going to be tests and trials. And we don't always come through those tests and trials the way we want to. Peter probably liked to change a lot of things in his life. But I'm glad God let us read about this. I'm glad God let him go through this for our benefit and his glory. Let's all stand tonight, every head bowed and every glass closed. They come and get a verse of invitation ready. It makes that verse of Scripture a whole lot more meaningful when we think about it in the light of this incident in Peter's life, where the Bible says, in our weakness, he is made strong. In our faults and our failures, God's sufficiency and grace and mercy is seen. And I'm glad that you and I have a place, and we still come even when we fail. Father, tonight, I pray that you take this message and use it as only you can, Lord, as my feeble attempts, Lord, to try to help and encourage each and every one here tonight, not just for our own selves, Lord, maybe someone here tonight that's been put to the test and failed, and they feel worthless and useless in the ministry and in the work of God. Maybe someone here tonight knows someone who's in that situation, and they just need to be encouraged to go out and love them and care for them in spite of their failures. Help us, Lord, to be the kind of children you'd have us to be for your honor and glory. Help us to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. As we sing, what number, brother buddy?
There is a fountain.
seated. The invitation is sufficient. We appreciate you coming tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Will and Brother Julius to come at this time and receive the Lord's offering for our preacher. Receive an offering tonight and Tuesday and Wednesday. Our folk, we ask to pray and pray about a special offering. The way I ask folks to do it is to give a one-time offering this week based upon if you were going to go eat a physical meal on the average, what would you feed for your family? If we can do that physically, we can do that spiritually also. So we're asking our folks to pray and give a one-time gift toward that this week. But if you're here and you can share in this love offering, Brother Church has not asked a single dime for coming, and he wouldn't do that. But we do want to help him out, so I appreciate him being willing to do that. So let's give as you can do so tonight. It'd be a great blessing. All right, so good to have my spiritual father in the Lord, Pastor Haywood Alcorn. I saved under Brother Alcorn's ministry in 1974. Sounds a long time ago, doesn't it? He pastored Clearview Baptist, and I appreciate his friendship through the years. He preached for us at a Valentine banquet a couple of years ago here at the church. And you pray for Brother Alcorn, pray for his church, pray for his health. He has some problems with his shoulder going in the morning, have some therapy done, I think. Is that right, preacher? And so he's having some problems there. And I hope I can do as well as he does. I know he doesn't look it, but he's I'll just say he's a little bit past 70 mark, but he doesn't look it. I get tired listening to how busy he is. And so I appreciate him. I'm going to ask him to lead us in prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering.
Father, we do thank you that we come together tonight in your house to be with your people. We thank you for the word that has been presented to us. Father, we pray that we find a logical place in our hearts. If we leave you tonight, we're committed to do what you call us to do. Father, we need to be encouragers. We need to be picked up. Father, we just pray that as we leave tonight, that we take the words that have been given to us and be what you have called us to be. Father, thank you that we come together tonight and give a part of this offering to help as he goes up and down the highway to preach your word. I pray you to bless the offering. Just use it that it may strengthen and better and equip Dan as he goes from place to place. Thank you for the band, for Darlene, thank you for this church, for the love that you share with us. Father, we love thee.
Actually, I should say that twice. We only got two services left. Revival, revival. All right, so thank you for being here. God bless you. Let's stand, be dismissed in prayer. I want to say again thank you to the preachers who have come and taken time out of your schedule to be here. We do not take that for granted. Thank you so much for coming and being with us. Thank you, Brother James, for coming and singing for us today. This is something like, I bet it's the third revival, I think, or something like that. You come and sung for us, and we appreciate that and enjoyed that. And so you go by and thank Brother James for coming, and then Brother Church for the good message from the Lord today. I'm going to ask his father-in-law, Brother Carton, over at Freedom Baptist here in Danville, to dismiss us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege and opportunity and desire that you put in our heart today to come and be with your people, to be with you in your house. Lord, we pray that you'll take this word that's been preached to us tonight. I pray that it'll find good soil in our hearts and minds, take root, that it'll spring forth, and in the days and weeks and months ahead, when we have to go through those times of testing and trial, that we'll remember this message, that we'll remember your word, your providential care, that you're always there for us. Lord, I pray for this church tonight. I pray for the pastor and his wife and all the members. I pray that this church would be a lighthouse in this community. I pray that it would be a soul-saving station. I pray that everything that's said and done here will bring honor and glory and praise to you. As we leave here and go our separate ways, we pray that you would keep us safe, and we pray that thy will, most of all, will be done in every heart and life. And all that you do for us, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't forget the books over here if you want one of Brother David's books. Good night.